An ex-con must team up with an ex-hero to break into a facility and steal a teeny weapon of mass destruction.
Welcome to the Walt Vault with
Michelle,
Andre,
Louise,
and me, Emily. We're a family-friendly podcast where we pick a new Disney movie each week. We watch it, share our thoughts, and then relate it to pop culture, fandoms, and anything else that pops into our heads. Enjoy!
Hello and welcome to the Walt Vault, episode 103.
103.
It's our 103rd episode. It's the Summer of Heroes. And this week we are talking about 2015's Marvel film, Ant-Man. Bum, 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 bum,
should we dress Dougie up like an ant? Dougie, do you want to be an ant? Oh.
Ant-Man. He's an ant and he's a man.
Come
so
here.
It's Ant-Man. I don't know.
He's Auntie. He's Manny.
He's an ant and he's a man.
He's all a little. Man. Little.
Got a dog on my lap today.
He's a little.
He's a little.
He's going to post up. All right. And what year was this?
2015. So this came out the same year as Avengers Age of Ultron. Came out afterwards.
In the fall.
So, yes. So there's not much that you have to catch up on from the last episode, right? Yeah, correct.
Right.
It came out in June of 2015, I think.
Oh, we weren't dating yet.
No, this was pre you and me, baby. I was out there single, living free.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
He was living lonely. That's what he sad. Means.
He was living lonely.
He ain't had no Michelle. He ain't had no Dougie. My dog is wilding out today, y'all. Sorry. He probably gonna post right here. Take
we
it
were on. Still we were still going through all those weird dating phases Michelle went through. We were just like, no, we don't like him. No, we don't like him.
And then you guys are finally like, just what about this dude? And I was like, yeah.
She was like, he'll do.
Okay.
Fine, I'll do it myself.
I'll do it myself.
That's basically what I said. I'll do it myself. I'll ask him out. I'll just do all the things.
This was directed by Peyton Reed, written by Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish and Adam McKay. So just a little heads up, this movie was originally going to be directed by Edgar Wright. But then during production, he and Kevin Feige and the Marvel heads, you know, they weren't meeting eye to eye. And so he was like, you know what? Creative differences.
Seeing
I'm out of here.
Seeing it.
But he said it in a British accent because he's British.
The guard dog's on patrol today. Okay. Let's go ahead and give our first impressions of this movie. I want to start with Luis because he was probably the only person excited for this movie, I guess, when it came
about?
Out.
Am I nothing? Am I chopped liver? What are you talking about? Luis is the only person excited.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I, for one, was not excited.
I wasn't
Luis
either.
Was
so men against
excited.
Women right now, I guess. But Luis, go ahead. Start with your first impression of the Ant-Man.
I love it. One of my favorite Marvel movies up there with Guardians of the Galaxy. It's pretty fun. Yes. I like this since the beginning, since day one. I've always liked it. However, did not like it too much at the beginning.
If you didn't see him, he was pointing at me. Okay.
Oh, that's what he's
that
saying?
One over there.
Thought he had a mustache itch.
I know. I thought he was itching his mustache.
Close to the left of his mustache.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, Andre, let's go to you then, since you also...
Get out of here!
I also love this movie. This is, I think, one of the better origin stories out of the Marvel universe. You know, I think this one's like right up there with Iron Man for me. You know, it's that good. Me likey. When it was first coming out, I was extremely excited, but I was also pretty worried because, as I mentioned, they switched directors in the middle. And I was excited about that first director, Edgar Wright. He's directed some stuff that I really like. And then, you know, just the concept of Ant-Man is not the most popular. So I was a little afraid that this one was going to like fail and flail and fall. But it stuck the landing, you know?
All right. Fair enough. There's probably two movies in the Marvel Universe that I was not excited about. Number one, Guardians of the Galaxy, because all I could see in the commercial was a raccoon that was talking, and I was like, nope, I ain't doing that. And number two, Ant-Man, because ants.
Yeah, that's a – but what's better, that or a bunch of mice running around touching food?
Yeah, I don't – that's disgusting. But the point was, like, I didn't want to go watch
I'm surprised there's not memes of me doing that face.
About a superhero who, like, utilizes ants. What about a superhero that's, like, using fish? Where's Aquaman at this point in time? Okay.
There is an aquatic Marvel superhero who has yet to be revealed.
Well, where's his movie? I don't care about no ants.
I don't mean to be rude, yeah. But what are they going to do with fish, Michelle?
They're going to fish slap you.
His name is Namor the Submariner. He's a king of Atlantis. Yeah, he's really close to Aquaman.
It's always different kings of Atlantis or Atlantica.
But he's also like a mutant or something like that. He can fly. He's great.
So he sounds cool. The point is, no, I wasn't excited for it. And so I didn't see it in the theater. But then when I saw it, I really liked it. And then upon this viewing, this is probably the third time I've seen it. I liked it even more. And I'll tell you the number one reason why I like it when we talk about that certain character later on in this podcast. Okay, Emily, first impression.
First impression, my first time watching it, I didn't like it. I'll be honest. Like, The first time we watched it, I just didn't think it was that funny. Okay, no, I take it back. I thought it was funny. The funnies are pretty funny. But I could not get into Paul Rudd as I like him a lot as an actor, but I could not get into him as being like a super smart dude who then went to prison. Like, I just didn't get that. Like, I don't get that persona from him. Yeah. So I couldn't believe it.
I almost wonder if this is the only movie where Paul Rudd has ever played a person who's been in prison before. You know?
I just,
like, it's just not his type.
He usually plays like a goofy dude.
Right. So I couldn't peg him as the type to be super smart. I'm not trying to be rude, but like, uber genius, like, hacking. But I also could then not get behind, like, him going to prison and then him coming out and doing all this other stuff. So I just did not buy into it at first. But then I saw him obviously in Civil War and in the subsequent movies, and I liked him for that role. So it's almost like he and Ant-Man and the Wasp I really like.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, I back am liking him. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I've now, in rewatching this one, I want to say maybe this is the third time I've seen it too. In watching it this time, I was all in. And I was like, this is freaking hilarious. And I buy it now. Yeah. But even still in that first scene when he's in prison, I'm like, this is just bizarre because he's not that kind of guy.
I think I feel about that at the beginning of the movie until Luis comes on the screen, and then I'm like, yes.
Do we need to take a moment and differentiate between movie Luis and podcast Luis?
No.
All right, let's just say Luis indiscriminately, and you guys determine who we're talking about.
Best character, hands down.
So let's talk a little bit though about the opening scene of the movie, even though I just said the opening scene was Scott, who is played by Paul Rudd, who is Ant-Man. That's not actually the first scene, and I always forget about the actual first scene of this movie, which is actually really important in like the timeline of Marvel Universe, right?
It is important in the timeline of Marvel Universe, but I still think that that opening scene is bad acting. It just seems like...
Wait, from who?
All of them.
Really?
I just think it's bad acting. It seems like really fake. And you know why? It's because all I can think of is the guy who plays Howard Stark.
Uh-huh.
All I can see is Mad Men in my head. And
he's a perfect Howard Stark, if you ask me.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah?
Heck yeah. Because, I mean, if Tony Stark's a... chip off the old block of his dad, then that's a perfect man to play an older Stark guy.
It's fine. So
let's talk a little bit about what happens there. So in the opening scene, we're, 40 years in the past?
We are in 1989.
Okay. Okay, so we're in the Triskelion, which is a SHIELD Shield
facility, right? It's the shield facility from Captain America: Winter Soldier.
Shield. Yes, Luis is laughing at Greg Turkington, the guy who played the Baskin Robbins supervisor.
This dude. Yes. We'll get there.
Oh my gosh, Luis.
That's funny. So we're in the Triskelion, and Hank Pym, played by Sir Michael Douglas. He pops onto the screen and he says, you know, like, you can't have my formula, because he realizes that the people there are trying to weaponize the Wasp, because he's been doing a lot of, like, recon missions. He's been pretty much saving the world as, like, a little tiny ant, and he doesn't want S.H.I.E.L.D. to use it for nefarious purposes, right?
Or for it to fall into the wrong hands.
He doesn't want for it to fall into the wrong hands or be weaponized in a mass amount, basically.
Right. So he's like, no, you can't have it. No, you're never going to recreate it. I'm keeping it to myself. And Mr. Martin Donovan, who's playing whatever that character is on, right?
Car, I guess.
Whatever. Yeah, that other weird dude.
That guy who wants to buy it and use it through S.H.I.E.L.D., who is obviously Hydra later.
Right.
Michael Douglas gives him a 1-2 and kicks his butt.
He really clocks him, because he mentions Hank's wife.
That was low blow, man.
It was a bad move.
He's like, I can't even say it.
Spark's like, don't look at me. You mentioned his wife.
He's like, if you had protected this serum like you protected Janet, she'd still be here.
Right.
Yeah, that's a little harsh, bro.
Ho. I don't think so. And Michael Douglas, he really throws down. He throws a fair amount of punches in this movie for a man of, let's see, how old are you?
Old.
Old. He was born in 1944. He's Woo! 75, baby.
I won't even lie. One of my favorite movies of all time he's in. And so every time I see him on screen, I'm very happy. Because have you ever seen The Game?
Mm-mm. Oh, that freaking...
The movie The Game?
I have not. Mm-mm.
Okay, well, you need to watch it. It's extremely good. It also has... it's good. You need to see that. And also The Kaminsky Method. Luis and I are absolutely so diehard fans of that. Michael Douglas is a good actor. But yeah. So like you said, he throws down, and then we flash back to our time now, and your first scene of the movie is Mr. Paul Rudd as Scott Lang. Getting another 1-2 in prison.
Danny Rand.
He's getting out of prison, and so he's getting his goodbye punch from Peaches.
So funny.
The Peach.
And then he gets let out of San Quentin. And this is actually really interesting. And I think, you know, it's funny that we keep bringing up where we live, but it's funny because we are very close to San Quentin based on where we geographically live.
Yeah. I've seen it. I've driven right by it multiple times.
We've driven by San Quentin probably 100 times in our life.
I've been there. I haven't actually been inside the prison itself.
Andre, why you been in San Quentin?
My father is a correctional officer.
Yeah.
And so he has friends who are also correctional officers. One of his buddies transferred over to San Quentin, and he lived like on the island that San Quentin actually is at. His house was like, you know, 1 mile away from the prison.
That makes sense.
So I went over there and I could see it from a distance.
So it's like in the Bay Area, and we're like an hour and a half. We're like an hour from the Bay Area.
Anytime
you go into San Francisco.
Yeah, anytime there's like a movie in San Francisco, I'm like, hello. I know you.
Right.
Like, oh, you're going to show us that Chinese restaurant on the corner? I ate there.
Yeah, I know. And then anytime there's a movie in New York, I'm like, whatever.
Hey, I wanna jump back to Hank Pym real quick. I just want to give you guys just a little bit of history on his character.
Sure.
In the comics, Hank Pym is Ant-Man, right? He's the main OG Ant-Man. He's Ant-Man number one, and he's on the original Avengers team, with Hulk, Thor, Iron Man, and the Wasp.
Okay.
Did I miss somebody? Oh, and Captain America. With all of them.
Okay.
He's on that team, and while he's on that team, he is the one who actually creates Ultron. So to jump back to Age of Ultron, he is like the mastermind behind that AI technology.
Which would kind of make sense, because he is extremely smart. Yeah. He's extremely He's just got like the science behind his genius as well.
Right. And also in the comics, he is like, he throws a lot of punches in this movie. He is kind of volatile. Like, he's an angry dude. And there
he seems like it, honestly.
And there are, like, allusions to him, like, committing domestic violence against the Wasp in the comics throughout his history and whatnot. And so when that guy made the jab at Janet in the very beginning and he punched him out, I was like, oh, this movie is going to be great. They got Hank Pym down to a T. Hallelujah.
It's about to get lit up in here.
Lit.
He does get angry a lot.
Right.
And he's stubborn and petty, but so is his daughter. So yes,
exactly. You know. Yeah. So I like
that. Well, I wonder where she got it from, right? No.
I like that they were able to factor all that in.
Sure. So
That's really interesting though, because I wonder how he felt about a Stark how did he feel about Starks in comic books?
They butted heads, kind of like how Captain Tony butt heads.
Let's be real. Who does
playful. I'm smart.
Tony not I'm like smart. Butt heads with.
Like playful.
Yeah. Playful, but you know, when it comes down to their technology, they're cooperative and they're cooperative for the Avengers, but they'll bicker over, you know, the minor stuff.
I like though here that he was very much against that. It really set up kind of the like tension that Ant-Man. He doesn't really feel tension in Civil War against like Iron Man's team. He's just excited to be with Captain America, right?
Just happy to be here.
But at the same time, it kind of like sets him on the one side. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It would be like bizarre if he was on Tony's side.
Sure.
Because like his mentor, his predecessor is not in the Stark.
Well, and honestly, like Scott Lang is not a bad guy. Like, yes, he went to jail, but he went to jail because he stuck it to a bunch of people basically and put some money back to people of things that corporations stole from. You know what I mean?
So Robin Hood. Robin Hooded.
Sure. He Robin Hooded. And he
did a cool crime.
He's not a bad guy.
Is that what the Baskin Robbins guy said? He's like, oh no, you didn't do a bad crime. You did like a cool crime. But you're still fired.
Literally. That's Baskin like exactly
Robbins
the same.
Finds out.
Yeah, I like how everybody Baskin Robbins always finds out.
Tell you about Jamba Juice. You don't want to know the kind of people I worked with at Jamba Juice. There was some.
Were they ex-cons? Were they pre-cons?
Yeah. the manager of the show. He was a. This is a family-friendly podcast. Okay, moving on.
All right. You have to tell us what he did.
We'll talk about it after this.
Luis cannot get over the fact that your
curtains.
Your curtains behind you make you look like you have bunny ears, Michelle.
What?
He's literally just.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's good. Guys, once again, go to YouTube. Check out the YouTube version of
this.
If you're
not watching this, I don't know.
Gotta watch. Mostly just for Michelle.
You know why? Because you guys are always like up in here. Like me and Luis are exactly like how we are on the couch. I'm chilling with a blanket. I'm looking over at the dog. I get up. I play fetch. I get some snacky snacks. And then Luis is just probably sleeping in the corner playing Pokemon. And then Andre and Emily are just carrying the whole conversation until I interrupt them. That's about it.
I mean, yeah, that's accurate. Speaking
of what we've been doing for 3 years. Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of interrupting, after Scott Lang gets out of San Quentin, obviously somebody has to pick you up from the prison. And who picks him up from prison?
Oh, that first couple of conversations.
Best friend, Luis. And
Sully.
His
old cellmate.
And I said this yesterday. This movie would be nothing without Luis, and also just without his, like, sidekick buddies, but mainly Luis.
The ex-cons.
Yes. nothing without him. And he's still funny in Ant-Man and the Wasp too. Like, he's hands down, like, makes the movie for me.
He's hilarious.
What's his name in real life? Michael
Pena.
Pena. Yeah. So
guy's so versatile, man.
Luis and I love Michael Pena from this movie. Obviously, we saw him before this, but then he was in Narcos Mexico.
Oh.
And
does he play a super serious character on there?
No.
Super serious.
Wow. Really?
And, I mean, no funny business, okay? He's like a DEA agent from the United States. They transfer to Mexico because he's like, he can't get any higher. He has like the glass ceiling. He goes down to Mexico and, spoiler alert, gets like...
Yeah,
like
Dang.
He's very versatile. And that's why I like him even more here, because he's freaking hilarious.
So funny.
Did you watch that before you watched this or this vice
first.
Versa?
This first. So when we were watching that, we were like, there has to be something funny. And he was just, he was Kiki Camarena. There was no, like, no funny business. So in this movie, rewatching it, we were like waiting. And literally there's one moment when he comes out as the security guard and he kind of stands there. And we're like, there's Kiki.
I know the exact moment you're talking about.
He comes out and he's like, serious
there. But the best thing that I love about him, yes, I love the way he talks, but I love the way that whenever he's done explaining something, babe, make the face he does. Yeah. That's what they told me. That's what they told me.
He just makes that happy.
Just so, so good. Like, his body language, he's definitely a good body language actor, but
yeah,
he's hilarious. And that's all I can say about that. So thanks for being in this movie, Michael Pena, and whoever cast you, because
you make the movie for me.
Yes. Do I like Ant-Man? And Emily, I agree with you. I do. I think I started liking Ant-Man more, like, in Civil War. He's heck of funny, like, mm-hmm. so funny in Civil War and stuff like that. But I appreciate him a lot more now in this movie.
And what's the other one? Is it it's not Infinity War. It's
Endgame,
where he's like, he's on real good in that. Level.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I start respecting him, like, even more, like, okay, he is an Avenger, you know what I mean? But this movie would be nothing without his best buddy Luis. The best is, like, oh my gosh, he's driving him home in the truck, right? And then Ant-Man's like, so how you been? And he was like, everything's good. And my mom died.
No,
I got her truck though.
My dad got deported.
I got her truck. My girl left me.
She left me.
My mama died. My dad got deported.
But I got to keep the van, though.
Gotta keep the van, though.
So it's not funny, but it's just the way he says it that's like, oh.
But he's smiling the whole time. He has that stupid smile on his face. Gosh, he's so funny.
This is what Michael Pena says about his character. He said, he modeled Luis's vocal style and positive outlook on life on a friend of a friend. He said, that's just the way he talks and the cadence. He's got this grin on the entire time, and he doesn't care. He's the kind of guy where you're like, hey, what'd you do this weekend? And he's like, I went to jail, dog, with a smile on his face. Not a lot of people do that.
That sums him up completely, like, literally.
Oh, hilarious.
He's like, oh, I remember when I got that scar in jail, dog. Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because at least the first time or two that I've seen this, I did not understand the importance of his knockout punch with Peaches. Right. So, like, right at the beginning, Scott, like, tries to punch, like, the guy out in jail, and he doesn't. And then Luis says something like, oh, yeah, but I'm still the only one who's knocked him out. And then I just didn't really pay attention to that. But later on in the movie, he's, like, knocking people out even though he's not that big of a guy.
He knocks out, like, two dudes in a row. It's fantastic.
And he's always like, oh, sorry, man.
It's wild. Like, looking at their little crew, you wouldn't assume that Michael Pena was the muscle. But he is.
He ain't the brains, that's for sure. Like, dude's an idiot, but he's really funny. Oh. So Scott Lang now is just looking for a job. Yes, he ends up working at Baskin-Robbins. And so, Luis, do you want to say what's so funny about the Baskin-Robbins dude?
The manager?
He's just creepy looking, man.
He is, yes.
Creepy looking, and, like, I don't know, just he was, like, trying to play cool and all this. I'm, like, thinking he's either really trying to play, like, trying too hard to be cool, or he's like one of those creepy dudes who's going to turn around and slit your throat.
I buy that.
Mm-hmm. My manager at Jamba Juice was like this dude, and he was very creepy, okay? And so, like, every time I see the scene, I'm like, oh, flashbacks.
Luis was very amused by the fact that he told him, like, I mean, don't tell anybody. This is really off the books. But if you take one of the mango glass on the way out, I won't look at you.
Pretend like I didn't.
And he did take one. So
then on the next scene, he's like drinking his lunch. Luis enjoyed that.
Baskin Robbins always finds out, man.
And I love that Luis even says that. He's like, what happened, man? He's like, I got fired. Baskin Robbins always finds out.
and then I think the other two say something similar in that respect.
Yes.
So then we have our other ex-cons. Scott Lang comes home and he tells Luis, like, dang, man, lost my job. And then there's two other dudes there, and you're like, oh no, there's other dudes there. Like, what are we
basically have the Transylvanian vampire.
What's his name?
He's a vampire. His character's name is Kurt. He's played by a dude named David Dasmalchian. Who I only know from The Dark Knight. He's in The Dark Knight. If you've seen that movie, which you probably have, he's one of the guys. He's one of the fake cops that attacks Commissioner Gordon with the Joker, and then he gets taken by what's his face, the DA, Two-Face. And you know, he tortures him a little bit, but he's like playing like a paranoid schizophrenic in that movie. And he comes over in here and he's like, oh, the waffles.
And he's like the tech guy, which is like weird to me.
I mean, they're all kind of the tech guy.
Yeah, honestly. They're all good at it. And then you got T.I.
T.I. in the building.
I just have to say that I have had a love for T.I. for a long time, but I just never, like, I understand, like,
T.I. is the man.
I don't know. I dig him.
He's great.
Emily thinks he's a Disney dad.
Can he be a Disney dad?
No, you guys. No.
We could call him a Marvel man. He's a Marvel man.
He might be like a Disney baby daddy or something.
Oh, Disney baby daddy.
I think the only other thing I've seen T.I. act in is, what's that movie called? I think it was called Atlanta. Or was it called Atlanta? I don't remember. It was a movie, and he was like the star, and you know, it was like an up and coming rapper. I mean, it was a T.I. movie, but he's good in this. I like his performance.
I thought he was.
I think he's funny.
Yeah,
I think he's real funny when he steals the freaking car. So funny. So they're all ex cons, and they kind of want Scott to do another deal, and he's like, "No, I'm done with this. I have to work now. I need to go find another job." And we see that he goes to, well, he thinks he's going to go visit his daughter, but he basically just crashes her birthday party. He's not invited. He can't afford child support, right? He's an ex-con. He doesn't have a job. His ex-wife is getting married to a cop of all people. Mm-hmm. Like,
played by Bobby Cannavale.
You know, but through all this, he's still trying to stay positive. And I love that he gives his daughter, like, the ugliest freaking toy on her birthday, and she's like, cool,
but it's because so that's ugly. All I love it. Dude, man.
Yeah.
It's so ugly.
I really like his daughter, especially in Ant-Man and the Wasp. I feel like we get more of her and like their relationship, but they have like a really strong relationship, and I like that it's not like a terrible divorce family. Like, she's still like, get your stuff together, get an apartment, make some money, you can come see your daughter, it's fine. Like, and they don't tell her, like, oh, your dad's terrible in prison.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because we had that whole conversation, and I hate to, like, prelude to the Ant-Man and the Wasp, but, like, they do a very good job representing a blended divorced family.
Co-parenting.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, co-parenting. Thank you. Because even though, like, in this movie, he calls him a butt hat, right? The new guy. What's his name?
He's like mad, but he's like not that.
What's his name though?
What is the character's name?
It doesn't matter. Whatever. The new stepdad.
Paxton.
Yes, Paxton. So Paxton, you can tell there's like all this tension and stuff, but by the next movie, they're literally like one big happy family. Yeah. And it's actually nice to see that on screen, because you always see like so much tension and so much like crap that it was actually really nice to see that.
Like, Scott, he walks into the birthday party, and Paxton comes in, and he's like, you got to get out of here, dude. You're not supposed to be here. This is my new girl's place. you got to chill. And, you know, in my mind, it immediately flashes to, like, these dudes are going to get into a fight because
Scott has showed up. Banter, right, kind of.
Because Scott, he's like a really personable, charming kind of guy.
And he
doesn't come in wanting to be confrontational or anything like that, and he doesn't get aggressive or angry at any point during that conversation. He's just like, well, I wanted to be here because it's my daughter's birthday and I love her so much, and I bought her this super ugly doll.
That was no doll, it was like a weird freaking like animal,
bunny.
Or something.
It was like a bunny, I think.
It was a
wannabe bunny. It was like awful.
It looked like a Night at Freddy. What is it? Night at Freddy's?
Five Nights at Freddy's.
It was Five Nights at Freddy.
Yeah, it kind of did, huh?
Yeah. So Scott's ex-wife, Judy Greer, she tells him, like, dude, you can't just keep showing up here like this, you really got to get your stuff together. If you get your stuff together, get a job, get an apartment, start paying child support, then we'll talk about visitation.
And then I feel so bad because then he like has his paper and he's like trying to figure out, and it's like over a year basically until he would be able to see her his daughter if he does that. So he goes back to his friends. He's like, "What's that freaking tip, man? You know, you gotta see his daughter." And he's not a bad guy, so I'm not like, oh, okay, like Scott, please be smart about this so you don't end up in jail. But
I mean, can we just pause for a second, like, and talk about just how sad that is?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that it's sad because like the mom did anything wrong. I understand. I can 100% see her point of view, but like that
he can't get a job, dude.
He has such a hard time trying to like support himself that it's gonna take him literally that long to be able to see her. So he feels like not the easiest way, because it's not like he's trying to find the easy way out, but like right. The only amenable way for him to do this is to turn to crime.
Like, he's
unfortunately, I feel like that is.
Well, and that's like, because once you get started in that and you go to jail, it's like really hard to get out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's kind of a fun thing. That's kind of a good thing that this movie kind of brings to light. It's like you go to prison and you spend 3 years there.
Someone's got to be willing to take a chance.
That's how long he was in. He spent 3 years away from his daughter. He comes back. He tries to see her, and it's impossible because now his ex-wife kind of has a grudge against him. He can't get a job because he's an ex-convict and nobody wants to hire him. So that's hard to, it's just
a cycle.
Harder and harder and harder to get anything done if you've ever gone to prison. And you know, the thing that he went to prison for from some aspects could be considered a good thing. You know, it wasn't a violent crime.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not a bad guy.
it wasn't thievery. Technically, I was a cat burglar.
Yeah, technically he's freaking the Hobbit, okay? He's a burglar. I'm gonna go pop up some popcorn.
Okay, bye. I can't go, okay? Good, I should hit me in the head.
Get out of here. Do you want to go pop some popcorn?
We got popcorn. No popcorn in this house.
We're not popcorn.
What were we saying? Oh, so yeah. So Scott basically decides to take the job. Yes.
So then comes one of the best Luis montages, because there's always a good Luis montage.
It might be the best scene in the whole movie.
The explanation of the tip. And it's really fun. Because the first time you watch it, like, you might really see it, but like the second or third time you see this scene or scenes like it, because they do it multiple times throughout the Luis Dumbs, right?
Yes.
You see he's telling the story and he's telling you way too many details, like to pare it down, right? So he's telling you all of these extraneous things and he's like giving you the dialogue of the conversation versus just this is what happened. He's giving you like word for word. But the people that they're seeing on the screen as a flashback are literally
they're mouthing to Luis's story, and it's
but with Luis's voice, it's so
funny.
Oh, it's so good,
especially when he throws like a lady in there. I don't know why, but that makes it extra funny.
Because they're always way too dramatic. Like, they're as dramatic as his voice is. It's not like they would actually say it that way.
Yes, it's like this. This is what you have to picture while Luis is telling the story, because that's how expressive he is in all his details. I really do love the extra details. Like, I was looking at fine art. You know I like art.
And you know, I was drinking reds, but I don't really like reds. But there was this really fancy rosé, and so it like really saved the day. We were good. So then I was looking at this art. You're like, hello.
Come on, man. So yeah, basically he has heard from a friend of a friend of a friend through some different people that this old man's house, he is gone and it's empty, and he's got a big old safe and a bunch of loot in there, and all they got to do is slip in, grab the stuff, and get out. That's all.
The best part of that, Luis looked at it, we looked at each other, and we were like, that is not any information. Like, he's old. He has a lot of money, and he has a safe.
It's just the guy has a big safe.
You literally know nothing about that. Okay, sounds good. Doing it.
Like, I got a lockbox, you know? Somebody could be like, oh, this dude.
I have a safe.
He's got a bad bag.
It's not going to hit you.
Lockbox. All I got to do is get in there and get out. It's perfect. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
In Monopoly money.
Yes. So they begin planning their big heist. or small heist, I guess. Right. And the plan is basically just get in, disable the security system, slip in through a window, and then crack the safe and get out.
I think the good thing though is that they really do, like, in the cinema kind of montage-y way, they really show you all of the skills of the different ex-cons. Right. Like, they do have very good...
Yeah, they got skills. They got...
do you call them skills?
Yeah, you know, they're skilled.
They have a very specific skill set.
Right.
And it's very helpful in thieving, and also in the subsequent movie, very good for preventing thievery.
Yes, they're good on both sides of the coin or whatever.
I love it.
Yeah, they're pulling in blueprints. They're planning their routes. They're doing all the smart things that you would think a bunch of dudes who have already been caught would think of. So they show up at the house, and Scott gets to show off his skills. Right, so he is learned in the arts of parkour. He hops over a wall. He climbs up the side of the house.
Doesn't he have like a master's or a doctorate or something?
In like civil engineering, I think.
Electrical
engineering, that's right.
Like, okay.
Right, so he is legitimately a very smart dude. And he goes in, he disables the security system in like 5 seconds flat. And
then, I know, when he's climbing that wall, I was like, wait, Ant-Man or Spider-Man?
Parkour!
Yeah.
Parkour!
He slips in. He finds the safe, but it's way more high tech than what any of them planned. It has a fingerprint sensor. So then he has to go and MacGyver a fingerprint off of a door handle, and he uses some glue and some heat and fire, and then
a simple fingerprint trick.
Yeah, simple, I guess, that I never would have thought of. I was like,
I would have been out of there. I would have been like, too hard. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go out the same window I came in.
I know, right?
So he bypasses the fingerprint sensor, and then they find the safe. But the safe is also way more heavy duty than what they anticipated for just this old man's house. He has a safe that was built in 1910 that is made of the same materials as the Titanic.
Mr. Pym. Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
Mr. Pym.
Wow.
Basically, the only way to break into it is to make it really, really, really cold.
Right. Because
the metal expands, but the something doesn't.
So he pours in some water into
nitrogen, liquid nitrogen.
Well, he pours in water and then he freezes the water with liquid nitrogen, which is what I was about to say. Thank you. He sets up a sheet and a mattress, and the safe explodes, falls on the sheet, all the pins hit the sheet, so he's not making a lot of noise. He's a smart dude.
He cracks his safe open.
And then he opens the door to find nothing. There's nothing but an old motorcycle suit in there. So they take it and
yeah, because that's a motorcycle suit.
It looks kind of motorcycle.
What else would it be? I mean,
it looks like a gas mask.
I mean, yeah, I guess it could be a gas mask.
So it's worth saying that at least for plot purposes, there's two concurrent stories running.
Yes, correct.
So yeah. The Scott Lang story is the one we're talking about, but we also kind of hinted at like the Hank Pym story. So, you know, back in the late 80s is when Hank punched out the guy who wanted to mass produce the Ant-Man technology, and he was like, no. And then you see a couple scenes later, like interspersed with Scott's, that he went on and created his own company and
Pym Technologies.
Yes, I had Pym Technologies, and he went on and he did all kinds of other stuff.
Right.
So it's really interesting that like in this universe you have like the Starks doing their tech, the Pyms doing their tech and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you very quickly get the understanding that Dr. Pym has been away for a long time, that Darren Cross has taken over, that he was a mentor of, a mentee of Dr. Pym, and that they are now estranged, and also that Dr. Pym's daughter, Hope, works there, and that they are also estranged. but he has been invited back because Darren, the new head of PIM Industry Technologies, whatever, has some really important information to share with the world and investors. And so he does this huge, what do you call it? Like a demonstration?
He's doing a tech demo.
Which is really not even a tech demo. It's
not really. He was
what
like,
we came up with.
Look at my yellow jacket.
Right. Look at our ideas.
Which they, they're more their ideas because they haven't like, they don't have the actual stuff yet, but
technology's not working quite yet.
Pretty much, Darren Cross has recreated his version of the Ant-Man suit. Mm-hmm. He knew that every time that Dr. Pym told him, no, there was no Ant-Man, I didn't, that wasn't me, that wasn't us, that's never a thing. He knew he was lying, and so he recreated it, and now is pretty much shoving it in Hank Pym's face. I did it. You didn't help me, but I did it anyways. And
he
I'm going to sell.
He invited that car dude that he Pym punched in the face.
I'm going to sell to the highest bidder. How right. you like that? And I took your daughter. Wham!
Boom.
I told Andre that I never trust bald dudes in movies. Like, what is it with the bald dudes in movies? Okay?
Your husband's bald.
I got a little bit of hair right now.
He's not bald. I'm talking about what's that? What's that guy from?
Tony.
No, Vanessa.
Okay.
Vanessa.
Yeah,
yeah, that one too.
There's already
Vanessa.
A bunch of bald Marvel.
There's
dudes.
A lot of bald Marvel.
Obadiah
villains.
Stane.
Yeah, Obadiah.
Tony.
Tony
Stark built this in a cave with metal straps.
Anytime some like bald looking white dude comes on in a suit and works for some company, I'm like, get out of here.
Wilson Fisk working for nobody. Well, he worked for the hand, I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
Anywho.
Anywho. Yeah, so
Darren Criss.
Darren Criss.
That was a weird slip.
I like it. Can you imagine him in this role?
Oh my goodness. Bald.
No. No, his hair is the best part of it.
Darren Cross, he's really showing off. And
he's very flamboyant about it too. Like.
Yeah, he's making it seem like the yellow jacket, which is his name for his Ant-Man suit, is the real bee's knees, if you'll forgive my pun. and the video that they create about the yellow jacket is like really heavily geared towards like murderers and genocidal maniacs, I guess.
Yes, completely. Warfare of the future.
Yeah, he's like, you could have just a swarm of yellow jackets and they'll just laser through tanks and laser through people's bodies and laser
this
through
this dude is so full of it. Like,
and I'll be honest, I remember the first time watching this scene and thinking like, man, this is unethical. We can't allow this, yeah. Right? But this time around, especially, and I'm not trying to get political or whatever, but mm-hmm. like, especially with what's going on in the world, I was like,
uh-uh.
We do not need.
We don't need no yellow jacket suits. I got all my old yellow jacket outside in the backyard. They're just flying around. I don't need no suit.
Well, especially because of like all the espionage, they were like, you can stop, you know, foreign leaders before they even enter their planes. And it's like, right. Okay. So we're just going to commit mass murder because we think someone's up to something. Fantastic. Let's do that. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is really the worst thing I've ever thought of.
Yeah. Dougie's upset.
This is what white privilege gets you people.
Dougie doesn't like Hydra. He's like, I don't mess with that.
Indeed.
I really like how their faces stopped. I wonder if our faces stopped too.
What? Hey, we're back.
It's been like 45 minutes later.
We had a minor technical difficulty where.
Yeah, that's called, we live in the boondocks and there's no internet.
Yeah, where the internet doesn't work anymore. Anyway.
Going down the internet.
It's not much later. So we're going to fly
going
through.
Going down.
We're tired, all right.
The internet's going down.
Let's hope not no more.
Yeah, it went down like 5 times, y'all.
So, after the scene we were just talking about, we go to Scott Lang's apartment, and he's like, man, that was a botch job, so now I guess I'm going to see what I stole. He picks up the suit, he tinkers with it, he checks it out, he looks at a Pym particle and whatnot, he puts it on, and then he hops in the bathtub to see himself better, and then he presses the button on the suit and shrinks into the size of a
okay
a
and, bitty ant. And I will say the best part is like every time he's Ant-Man, like shrunken down to the size of an ant, I feel like I'm watching like Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with all the like giant bugs and stuff like that, but like done way better, obviously, you know.
Yeah, I've never seen that, but I would assume so.
Oh, it's so good.
It's good. All the perspective shots in this are fantastic. I really like
it. And he keeps, like, falling through his apartment building, which is hilarious. He's hitting, the ravers.
I know, and I kept asking Andre, I was like, why is he, like, just falling through the ground? But I guess his body mass is, like, really strong.
Yes.
When he's Ant-Man.
So he's like heavy and light at the same time.
Yeah.
And he's strong and...
Well, he has his mass... In a little tiny amount of space.
Tiny antibody.
Yeah, he widow.
I said antibody.
Yeah, you did.
So, he has a really cool adventure making his way out of his apartment building.
The best part is he hears someone talking to him in the suit the whole time.
Yes.
It's Pym.
It's Hank Pym. Like, he's like, hey, Scott. What's going on? You like?
I hope you like the suit, man.
And Scott is like, absolutely not. Get me out of this thing. I don't blame him. I would be like, this is not.
Gets out of the suit, and he literally burgles it back into the house.
He's like, forget this. I don't want this at all. That was the most terrifying thing I've ever experienced. He runs it back into the house, and on his way back out, the cops show up. He's like, wait, no, I didn't steal anything. I was returning something I stole. Oh, oops.
Such an idiot.
He gets incarcerated.
Yes, by,
his ex-wife's
dad, Bobby Cannavale.
By Paxton.
Yes, Paxton. He goes in there. He's called Sad Sack. And then he gets called in by his lawyer. It turns out his lawyer is Hank Pym. And he has closed the door and covered the camera with ants.
Oh, every time the ants crawl like that, I'm like,
gross.
Nasty.
It's very disgusting. And they have a little chit chat. He's like, hey, Scott, you can help me out. I need to have a job that I need done or whatever.
Just like that. You can help me out, Scott's, you know. Like,
what? Who? What? Huh?
And he's like, jail or Aunt Sue. I mean,
he doesn't ask fairly, you know, even enough questions. No, he just goes along with it.
And I think at that point, he's like, jail? Aunt Sue. I'm gonna take the aunt too, obviously. Also, while all of this is occurring too, freaking bald Pym dude, what's his name?
Darren Cross.
He is straight up evil. He's like testing his Pym particle, because it doesn't work. It doesn't shrink bio material. So he just like straight up kills a dude and turns him into goo.
Yeah. Just a guy that like
and a couple sheep. I'm like,
made
what
a weird
are you
comment at the demonstration. He's like, hey, let me tell you something in, here in the bathroom, all creepy like, and then boom, he just shoots him with a shrink ray that shrinks him down into a pile of goo.
And he like starts wiping it off the floor, and it's leaving like smears of the dude. And I'm like, that is not how you clean up. We are in
like,
the
age. There's still evidence right
here. You gotta sanitize.
He didn't spray a single chemical. You wipe that up with a piece of toilet paper.
He doesn't care. He has daddy issues. He has mommy issues. He has power trouble issues. He's got so many issues.
Yeah, we said he had daddy issues for sure, huh?
Oh, and mommy issues. That's why he's so into
Hope.
Hope, yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me. Why?
Because, no, I guess it's a daddy issue.
I'm sure he's got plenty of issues, you know?
Yeah.
Plenty. Seen and unseen.
Plenty of issues.
So the good thing is that back and forth, Hope has, even though she, like, outwardly is not, like, working with her dad, she has realized that he is really close to creating her dad's technology, and he's not going to be using it for good purposes. So she's contacted back with dad, and she then is the reason that Scott Lang gets arrested, because she was the one who called the cops on him.
Yeah, because she's like a piss because she wants to put on the suit, but daddy's like, nah, you're not putting on the suit because I lost your mama that way. But she doesn't know she lost her mama that way because daddy won't tell her.
Right.
We gotta call him daddy. Yeah,
it's a complicated familial.
His name is Hank.
a complicated familial relationship. Okay.
Yeah.
So the long, the short of the long, the short of the lang, mm-hmm. is that Hank 100% shanghais Scott into becoming Ant-Man.
Right.
He teaches him how to use the suit, how to use ants.
Yes. How to control ants with electromagnetic waves.
With like a hearing aid.
It's so weird.
Supersonics, they're lobes or something.
Yeah, antenna, baby.
Oh, the ants touching the sugar cubes. Nasty.
Yeah, you want some sugar?
Oh, nasty.
But yeah, there are a couple really cool scenes where he shrinks down and is like interacting with the ants, and that the ants have different abilities that allow him to, you know, do cool stuff like right. fly and
that's really
get
cool.
into small places. And
Anthony.
Yes. He
meets Anthony.
His new best bud, Anthony.
Anthony.
A flying ant that he rides. He was ant number 247, but he is now Anthony.
I like Anthony.
Yeah, so they go through a whole montage. Oh, Hope teaches him how to fight.
She's pretty BA.
Yeah, she's awesome. And I mean, she's right at the very beginning of this movie. She's like, give me the suit. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to bust all this nonsense up. And then I'm going to get our technology back. And then everything's going to be good. And he's no, I'm just scared for you. And I know what's best.
He's not Jewish. Stop.
That was not a good impression. Okay. All right.
Well, it sounded like that in my head.
Hope I know what I'm doing.
But yeah, I think she could have done this entire mission by herself.
Yeah, for sure.
If he had just...
The reason that it's good that she's not doing it, even though obviously that, you know, for Scott is not family and all that. But yeah, she can like keep Darren busy.
Yeah.
Distracted.
To an extent. I mean, she doesn't all the time. So basically at this point, after he's had all of his training, which he gets trained up pretty quick. He's mm-hmm. he's jumping through keyholes and, you know, stuff like that. He's doing all right. They have all of their plans, but in order to conduct their plan, they need a piece of technology that is at the new Avengers headquarters.
I think it's just a random warehouse in upstate New York.
Oh my God.
And they show up and it's got a big old Avengers symbol on it. And they're like, oh no, Scott's going to die. And Scott goes down there.
Which is funny because they had made that comment about the Avengers earlier where he was like, I need you to be the Ant-Man. And he was like, it sounds like you need the Avengers.
Yeah, let's call the Avengers.
And he was like, I think they're busy dropping cities on people.
Right.
And the best part was that he was in jail, you know? So how does he like was hearing bits and pieces about how cool the Avengers were. He just got out. He's like, just call the Avengers.
Yeah.
The Avengers.
But this is probably the second best scene of the movie.
Very cool.
He drops in to the Avengers facility and he's like, nobody's home, which I mean, how are you going to know nobody's home?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
And he's
a bunch of cars in the driveway or whatever.
They find.
He's like, I don't see anybody.
So he drops in and immediately sets off a trigger or a sensor or whatever. And the only Avenger we see is
Falcon.
The Falcon.
Falcon is the Falcon. And I really like the Falcon.
Yeah,
he's funny.
He's so Captain America self-righteous, but like more kind of gritty.
Yeah, he's cool about it.
Without like the 50s, you know,
right.
timey-wimey stuff. Yeah. And
like the timey-wimey stuff.
Timey-wimey. Well, he wasn't stuck in ice for 70 years or something.
Right. There's definitely time for my mistake.
Oh my gosh, I realized you just said stuck in ice, but you sounded like you're like, well, he wasn't stuck in ice for 70 years.
He was, actually. He was technically stuck in ice. Yeah. Because he went under, it gets in your mouth, and then it freezes in your mouth. So he was sucking on ice.
Disgusting.
Anywho, Sam is like a new Avenger after the last movie, and he's left alone there to guard the Avengers facility, where he's just the only one at home, right?
Yeah.
And so him and Scott fight, pretty much. And I love that Scott apologizes the entire time they're fighting. He's just like, you seem like a really cool guy. I'm really sorry that I have to break in here and get this little piece of technology.
Right.
It's very cute.
And Falcon is like, no, we ain't doing this. But basically, Falcon gets his tushy beat, and I love that he's like, don't tell Cap about this.
Under no circumstances will you tell Cap about this.
It was cool the way they fought, too, because Ant-Man, he kept going small, but Falcon can see him because of his cool hawk vision goggles or whatever.
See why I called him Hawkeye. He has hawk eyes.
In the comics, Falcon has a pet hawk. Is it a hawk? Maybe it is.
Probably a falcon.
I don't know. He's got a bird.
He got a bird.
Called Red Wing, and he can communicate with it telepathically. Okay.
That's cool.
So, yes, they get out of there, and Ant-Man has successfully stolen the piece of technology from Avengers Mansion or Avengers facility. It used to be a mansion.
This is not the X-Men.
In the comics, it's a mansion. They Hope, Scott, and Hank Pym, they begin drafting their plans for infiltrating the Darren Cross's warehouse or whatever he's got. And
the laboratory.
At this point, Darren Cross has figured out the formula, kind of. He turned the sheep into a sheep. And so he wants to go brag.
Turn the sheep into a sheep.
Man. Well, he didn't turn it into goo, is what I meant.
he shrunk a sheep.
He shrunk Sean the sheep.
Okay, Sean the sheep.
Dude, we all become billionaires right now by turning humans into humans if we sold that.
We turned that human into a human. It's fine. So he wants to go brag to Hank Pym. Yeah. Brag to Hank Pym about his party, and he's gonna invite him and all of this stuff. Lo and behold, he was actually gonna kill him then, because he's crazy, right? And they also mention that if you're using the Pym particle so much that it takes a toll on your body. So they're kind of implying now that he's so far into this that he's kind of going crazy, but he hasn't even really used the Pym particle yet. So I just think he's crazy. Honestly.
Right. Yeah.
That was kind of lost. Like, because his mind was
Yeah, but like, he's saying it had an effect on, took a toll on his body because he had been using it for years and years.
Right.
And then they make this comment like, oh, you know, you're not really like this. It's the particle.
Well, because he wasn't using the helmet. Like, the helmet was the protector or whatever from making it like
yellow jacket helmet. But yeah, you're right. It could have had to do with the helmet. But I still fully believe the dude's just freaking
out. No, he's just crazy. Yeah,
he's
just
crazy nuts. Evil, right?
Straight up.
So luckily they think he hasn't found out about the plan.
Right.
Okay.
But he walks into Hank Pym's house wearing a women's leather jacket and matching gloves, and he's like, oh, Hank, I just looked up to you so much, and I've come so far. I'm the best.
Why didn't you love me?
Why'd you throw me away, Hank?
And then he immediately calls Hope after and is like, I just saw Hank. Basically, he sucks. So triple security, put mesh nets on everything, ain't nothing getting in here. And because he's paranoid, and I don't even blame him. But at the same time, now we know he was just trying to trick them into using the water main, right? So Scott has the idea that to go in the water main, and they're saying it's possible, but we're only a 3-man team. So they need more people. Ugh, I love them.
Which is also a very funny scene. They bring all the ex-cons into this millionaire's house, and he's like explaining all these things that they need to do, and they're just being themselves, which is hilarious.
I know, and Hope is like so mad. She's like, you do realize this guy got arrested for stealing a smoothie machine, and he's like, yeah, 2 smoothie machines. I love that.
I'm just surprised he goes to San Quentin for stealing 2 smoothie machines.
They're expensive. That's probably just what, that was his third count or whatever.
Jamba Juice always finds out, you know?
Baskin Robbins always finds out.
Scott reveals to them that he is Ant-Man, and he goes to show Luis, and he's like, hey, man, don't be scared. He's like, I'm never scared, dude.
I'll get scared.
And he shrinks down and pops back up on Luis's shoulder, and he freaks out very hard, very scared.
Yeah, just like if you had a bug on you. And I like that they're like, no, that's sorcery. And the other one's like, that's witchcraft. And he's like, well, it's like some crazy David Copperfield stuff. So ridiculous.
Oh my goodness. Fantastic scene. So they begin to cobble together their plan. It's another Ocean's 11 style montage for this heist movie.
Dun 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 dun.
Oh, Ocean's 11.
It's very cool. They're getting outfits, they're stealing cars, T.I. is taking off license plates. It's fun.
It is funny.
And eventually they make their way to Pym Technologies, the building.
Through the water main.
Through the water main. But while T.I. and what was that other dude's name? Kurt are in the van.
Yeah, and while they're in the van on patrol, lo and behold, freaking T.I. is like, that's an undercover cop car right there. And what does he say? I don't remember the brand of the car, but he's
Crown
like,
Vic.
The Crown Vic.
Yeah.
So funny. So his ex-wife's boyfriend, Paxton, is there with his partner trying to arrest Pym and all of this stuff at the same time, where it's a mess.
Well, because they figured out that Hank Pym was the one who helped Scott escape from county, which is totally bad, right?
He escaped from jail.
They were like, are those bugs on the camera?
That was cool.
Yeah. Gross.
So anywho.
They go through the water main. They use the crazy ants to build the bridges and whatnot. It's really cool how they use the different type of ants.
It's gross, but
I like it.
Surprisingly very cool. Like, they build bridges for him to get across, and they fly him different places, and they literally
electricity.
Yeah, they fry the mains. Like, it's pretty cool. They do a really good job. And then I feel like the rest of the movie is like carrying out the plan.
And yeah, it's just like a bunch of action scenes, but they're like cool action scenes because he's doing Ant-Man type-esque stuff.
I like how he gets really slow, where he gets small, and then he comes out and punch and small.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, like how he's like shifting but phasing between the sizes.
There's one point where he's like running through a model of like the building, and so he's like the model size or whatever, and it's getting all blown up. It looks really cool. It's awesome.
And I would say all of that in the Pym Technologies is good. Like them setting the traps and them getting set up by
Tell Luis to sit up? This is the movie he actually likes. Tell him to pay attention.
Pay attention.
It's past Luis's bedtime.
Look at him.
Darren Cross, that's his name. Darren.
Yes.
And I get all that, and then they escape. They escape from the prison in a tank, which is crazy as well. So there's all these fight scenes happening. Darren Cross actually sets them up. He's selling this tech to Hydra, and they get it. And just all of this wild stuff is happening. Hank gets shot in the shoulder. Just a hot mess. But they're able to escape because he's like, Hope, this is not a keychain. This is a tank. You know, he's always prepared.
so they
escape. Scott escapes, but as he got arrested.
No, Scott went to fight Darren Cross. He went after him.
Yeah, and then he got arrested.
Darren Cross then suited up as Yellow Jacket.
Oh, that's right.
And Ant-Man and Yellow Jacket have an unextended fight where they fall in a briefcase.
On the helicopter.
Oh, I love that fight. That fight was so fun.
In the briefcase, it's fun, but on the helicopter, it freaks me out because helicopters freak me out.
Just the whole...
Just helicopters. Oh.
Okay.
Helicopters.
Anyway.
Helicopters.
They fall from the helicopter, the gross helicopter, and into a family's pool. They both like resize and fight each other there. The black family that lives there runs away scared.
He gets stuck in the little mosquito, zapper.
Yellow Jacket gets stuck in the bug zapper.
That thing stinks because it essentially kills him and brings him back to life.
And then it defribs him back to life.
Like, come on.
A-hole. It's crazy.
It was gross. And then they make their way back to Cassie's house because Yellow Jacket escaped and kidnapped her or held her
hostage. Yeah, because
he's
using her as
bait.
Motivation. As bait.
That was bad.
And that's a low blow, y'all.
It is. I mean, we don't
going after people's kids.
Yeah.
Hello.
Then we have the fight with Yellow Jacket.
Luis really likes Cassie.
In Cassie's bedroom.
She's so cute.
amongst her playset. So they both
That's
get real
the best okay. fight scene.
That is the best fight
Thomas
scene, but
the
I also
train.
Thomas
like
the Tank Engine.
I think my favorite part is like when it's close up, right, and you see the lasers, it's like shaboom, and it's like all these loud sounds. And then if, when they fade out to the real life, it's like ding. And it's just like a tiny little sound, and the laser lights are like pew 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 pew. So
Louise was pew pewing for the whole last 30 minutes. Of the
pew 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 pew.
Oh my god, that's so
cool. I like Thomas the what is his name? Thomas the Train.
Thomas the Brain.
And it's just eyes.
Oh, the eyes, so creepy.
Yeah, that's super creepy. Yeah, they oversized that, and they oversized an ant. And so there's just a dog-sized ant running around.
That's absolutely disgusting.
That's the worst.
Absolutely disgusting.
They were like, oh, that's a weird-looking dog.
Yeah, that was no dog.
No battle.
So to end the battle, Ant-Man realizes that he is going to have to shrink between the molecules to get into Yellowjacket's pack and destroy his suit. The only other time this has been done, it was by Janet Van Dyne, Hank's wife, who was the Wasp. And when she did it, she never came back. She just shrank forever and ever and ever and ever.
Yeah, because if you go subatomic, you can't come back because you're just shrinking into eternity.
Into oblivion. But Scott decides to do it anyway. He shrinks and punches and shrinks and punches and shrinks and shrinks and shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. And he keeps on shrinking until he's in like negative space and nothing.
I won't lie, I hate when they do that. Like,
it actually like really freaks me out too. Really like, cool. I don't like it.
Well, they've Body done.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Marvel's done a couple different scenes like that, and it grosses me out every time. And in the Ant-Man case, I think it grosses me out even more because it's almost like you can see like bacteria and like, you know, like you can see like as he gets smaller and smaller, it's the same size as him. And they did
it's freaky.
Doctor Strange too, which it wasn't so much that it was shrinking, but it was like going in like
repeating itself. And
I think they have said in universe that those are some of the same dimensions and stuff.
Oh,
Doctor Strange can enter as well.
I hate it.
I love Doctor Strange.
Which is fun.
I don't like it.
So Scott is there out in the ether in his purgatory, and then he realizes that he has a grow disc, which maybe Ant-Man didn't have last time, and he puts that in his regulator, switches it on, and it goes, and he grows back.
Wait, what does it do?
It grows.
The face is really what we need to see again.
He grows back up to regular Scott size. And
God.
He saved the day. Oh, also, Yellow Jacket, Darren Cross, he gets crushed into oblivion.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's kind of
so
creepy.
Bad. It's like.
Yeah, really
good. Bye, bro. Like, nobody's going to be.
And then everyone's like, is Cassie okay? And Paxton's holding her. He's like, yeah, she's totally okay. I'm like.
This is gonna come up later. This is trauma for sure.
She just saw this guy like totally like obliterating her
implode.
Dad, and then her dad went. Yeah, I think it's gonna bug her a little.
Dad keeps shrinking. Yeah, but she plays it cool. She's like, whatever. I got a pet aunt now.
At one point in the movie, you know that Cassie's the bee's knees because she asks the dad cop, like, "Are you trying to find my daddy?" And he's like, yes, honey, I just want to make sure she's safe. Because, you know, he really does have, like, a good heart or whatever.
Yeah, he does.
He's still a cop. And then she goes, I hope you don't find him.
Hope you don't find him.
He's
I know,
she's real deal.
Okay.
That's also things that kids say. They're just so no filter. Like, hope you don't find him. It's all good.
You're not my real dad, okay?
You're my real dad.
He's way cooler
than you.
My
daddy's a hero.
I love it. It's so good.
It's awesome. So that basically ends the film. What happens after that?
There's a little after credit scene where Hank Pym shows his daughter Hope the Wasp prototype suit that was supposed to be for his wife. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking you like, wait, what? And you're like, yeah, she's the Wasp. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I think like a couple months after that, they were like, Ant-Man and the Wasp. And I was like, oh, all right, here we go again. I get it.
Good sequel.
Yeah,
I really like that one.
It is. It is a really good sequel. It's a really good story concept. Them like trying to go subatomic to get the mom, and it sets it up for Endgame too. It's so cool.
Yeah, it does.
Indeed. Yeah, so that's Ant-Man.
Oh, and the second one too. There was a second one at the end.
What was it? Was
I think it was
the Civil War one? Where
it had stupid face in it.
That's right. So it's Cap and Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
And they walk in, and who is laying on a table but silver-armed Bucky Barnes?
Bucky Barnes.
Well, and it's funny too because regardless of like what they look like, they obviously look disheveled in some random place. The cool kind of thing he said is like, well, if this was a week ago, we could have just told Tony, right? So it's very in the timeline, even though we don't know about Civil War yet, we know that, well, no, we really don't know, but after watching Civil War, you can place where that scene would have been because the Sokovia Accords were coming around and they now need to be able to save him without getting in trouble, which you can't.
Impossible.
So, impossible.
Not mad about
things
it.
Things are happening every day. Just in case you wanted to know. All right.
Just in case. All right. Let's do money talk.
All money right. talk.
Let's talk that.
Money.
Ant-Man had a budget of...
Probably not a lot, right?
Where'd the budget go? Oh, $130 million. Oh,
okay, that's a lot, so, but not compared to Avengers.
That's a lot, but it's not $300 million like a couple of the movies we've done have been.
Also, it was an hour and 57 minutes. It's pretty short for a Marvel movie.
Yeah, not
too bad.
I'm
mad about it again.
And it grossed a worldwide total of $519 million. So, you know, $500 million, which compared to some of the other Marvel movies, isn't that much, but compared to every other movie is still a buttload.
Yeah, it's a ton of money. And it actually is like a really good, fun Marvel movie. I feel like if you're there are certain Marvel movies, like you have to be in the mood for it, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to be like, I'm down to watch a 2.5 hour movie right now. That's very serious and a lot of things are going to happen. But you could put on Ant-Man and like Thor Ragnarok and do chores around the house and it's like happy-go-lucky. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's true. Yeah. Especially if you've seen them a couple times, they're excellent.
Yeah, you could just put it on and be like, oh, I kind of want to watch this right now. For you know?
Sure. Indeed.
I think it's funny because Oh, right here. Like, roll down and look at the poster. Like, I feel like the poster is just not in any way.
Yeah, I don't.
It does
really
not
like
show
it.
You what this movie's about whatsoever.
It's supposed to be a mini.
Also, Ant-Man looks weird there.
I feel like they're
like this. It looks like 8 Mile to me.
Right. I feel
like, him with his busted up eyebrow. Right.
I feel
there.
Like there was a much better poster where it was like. Just a small man the size of an ant, and then it said Ant-Man all big or something like that.
This is just very, like, 90s drama. I don't know. It's a really bad cover, I think.
Yeah, you know.
Dun, dun, dun.
Not like you made it or anything, Andre.
Right.
I have to make a comment about Ant-Man's theme song. I think he has one of the best songs of the Marvel characters.
I agree. It's dope. Mm. It's like jazzy.
We were singing it all day yesterday.
Oh, it's funny that you say that. I like that, but I didn't associate that in my head with that being his song.
Yeah, that's the Ant-Man theme.
Well, I dig it then. You're right.
Yeah, it seems like it would be like almost an Avengers theme, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, it's bombastic in that way.
Bombastic.
It's bombastic. This movie got an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, an audience score of 86%. Critic Census says, led by a charming performance from Paul Rudd, Ant-Man offers Marvel thrills on an appropriately smaller scale, albeit not as smoothly as its most successful predecessors.
Fair enough.
Fair enough indeed.
All right.
That's good.
Let's rate it. Louise.
Is he even on screen? I can't tell.
I can see him.
He's in there.
Go ahead and jump on in there, Schmoopy.
Yeah, Schmoopy.
I'd say maybe about
it. You can't call him Schmoopy.
Okay.
I'd say about an 8.5.
8.5.
Great movie. Yeah, it's fun. I love it. I only give it an 8.5 because it's not my... I say it's one of my favorites, but the Guardians are definitely above this one. So, but I really enjoy it. I will watch it. I actually was trying to watch Ant-Man and the Wasp without her. because kind of got to drag her or, you know, give her homework for her to watch a Marvel movie with me nowadays. So.
Watch any movie, dude.
You go. It's hard to watch movies. I'm so used to it because Andre makes me watch so many movies.
I love movies.
I do a lot better with TV shows.
Dude, I'm tired of watching TV and movies, okay? Not because of the podcast, but like this whole shelter in place, y'all, like we've watched a lot of stuff and I'm getting tired of watching stuff.
Read a book.
Girl, you know how many books I read last week?
I'm still only 75% way through The Hobbit.
I read the entirety of The Hobbit and I got about a couple chapters.
You didn't read it, you listened to it on the audiobook.
That's reading.
That's listening. It's listening. It's different.
I enjoyed a story.
Anyways, I'm going to rate this movie an 8.5 as well. I agree with Luis. It's a really good movie. I like it a lot. And that's all I have to really say about it. I guess I'm okay with ants in a movie. It's all right. Now that I've accepted it.
Hurry. Emily. It sounds like your internet's going to go out. Hurry.
Emily. No, he was going ding ding ding. That was his reminder.
Anyway. No, I can hear.
Oh, okay. Emily, go.
8.5. Good. Liked it a lot. And yay. I agree. The ants didn't bother me as much as I was expecting. Great. I mean, they were creepy, but.
Yeah.
They weren't as bad as they could have been. They weren't like the front runners, you know? Andre, go.
I'm going to give it a 9. Baby.
9.
Yeah. This movie's great. Really good origin story. Fantastic creative action scenes, very funny performances from Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas. The amount of punching and joking that he's doing in this movie is just great. I love it.
And
all.
Michael Pena.
Oh my God, standout, breakout star. I'm gonna have to watch Narcos Mexico just to see more of this dude.
I know we still haven't watched Narcos. So.
He's dope. 9. That's all the scores. We all did it.
And guess what we're doing next week? My favorite Avengers movie, or one of my, it might be my favorite Avengers movie. Civil War. Oh yeah, my favorite Captain America movie. Sorry,
I always call it an Avenger movie. I'm sorry,
I always call it an Avenger movie too, because like it kind of is,
which is awesome, but you know? It's definitely centered around the man with a plan, Captain America.
Is this
America.
My favorite Captain America movie? It's hard, man. It's a good movie, and I can't wait. And Emily doesn't like it, and I do.
They're gonna fight each other. They're gonna fight.
Oh, you want to know who is also gonna fight each other?
Ooh.
Us.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're on opposite sides of this. I forgot. I just have fun watching movies. I can't wait.
So excited to watch Civil War.
I know you are, goodness.
Too, Emily.
It's gonna be great. Hey, you guys, this week is the last week that you can get your orders in for...
Get that merch. Peep that merch.
Okay, you trying to check this merch out? It's dope.
What was that?
Dope. We've got all kinds of designs.
Dope.
You can get Luis's face on your shirt.
Get that mug. Get
a whole bunch of nays before bays options. Do you want an apper?
Apper.
Go get an apper. Or you can check out our brand
logo.
New logo. What up? Come get it. Head to bonfire.com. The link is in the description. Click that and help support your homies over at the Walt Vaults. You can also
support us
by going to patreon.com/thewaltvault. Sign up. You'll get a gift. You'll get some extra content. It's fun. You help us keep the lights on. You can also help us out by just hitting subscribe on whatever you're on. If you're on YouTube, hit subscribe and like and leave a comment. If you're on Apple Podcasts, hit subscribe. Leave
I wish they sold the shirts in baby sizes for Dougie.
Oh, baby shirts. Wait, dog shirts.
Dog shirts.
Not you want me to just put a onesie on him?
Yeah, we'll
do dog merch next time.
Are you funny?
That would be so weird. How would he poop if you had a onesie on?
Oh man, I'd have to take that off every time. Goodness gracious, this is crazy. Follow us on social media, you guys. We're at the Walt Vault Pod everywhere. Go there, follow us, leave your comments. Let us know what you thought of Ant-Man and the Marvel Universe thus far. Hit us up with your weird conspiracy theories about what's going to happen next. I saw a thing today that the guy who played Pietro in the X-Men movies is going to be on the WandaVision show. We don't know if he's going to be playing her twin brother.
Who, Claws?
Evan Peters, the dude who played...
Claws!
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wait.
I saw that too, Andre. I wonder what's happening there.
Yeah, I don't know. He could be playing an entirely new character, but that'd be weird. But he could also be playing... What if he... Okay.
What if he had Pietro in that show, though?
Okay. They could do flashbacks to Pietro.
Okay, here. I'm going to drop a theory real quick. You guys ready for this?
Okay, we're ready.
In the comics...
This is some crack.
In the comic... I know. In the comics, Scarlet Witch, she creates a reality where she has children with the Vision.
Yeah.
She has two children. One of them is a magician, and he does magic. And the other one is a speedster who looks a lot like Quicksilver. And what if Evan Peters is playing her son in one of these alternate realities?
I mean, that makes sense, because if you've seen like the commercials for it, she's always like dressed up kind of like a home wife or whatever. So it could be like an alternate reality.
I'm not sure. It got delayed once, COVID hit and everything. But it should be sometime.
They're essential workers. What the heck?
Next year.
Essential entertainment.
Right, yeah. Essential entertainment. Let's go. All right, you guys. That's been it. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Say bye, Dougie.
All right. We will see you next time.
He can't say bye. He's too busy
patrolling the area.
Patrolling.
For safety.
We love you very much. Black Lives Matter. The vault is now closed.
A teeny weapon. Does this make the sound better us using this mic? Because part of me just is like, it's weird looking at myself holding a mic, like talking to myself. Does that make sense?
You're talking to them.
I'm like, hello.
And you're talking to me.
Luis, do that thingy.
He's just making weird.
No, he can do it. He can do it.
Come on. Do it.
Yeah, okay, let's get started.
The best part is he recorded all that.
I did, yeah.
I did not realize that.
I have that footage.